Hello and welcome to Criminal Justice Knowledge. My name is Natalie Miller and I'm very pleased to welcome my guest today, Professor Ray Reese, one of the faculty members here at Humber in the Community and Justice Services Diploma Program. Thank you very much for joining me today, Ray.
Thank you, Natalie. It's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Awesome.
So today we're going to be talking about feminist theory.
Yes.
So what is feminist theory exactly?
Okay, so I would say there are feminist theories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not one understanding of feminism or feminist theory. So
right.
Generally speaking, feminist theory is a body of knowledge that looks at situated knowledge, standpoint theory, ethnography, women's experiences, and those knowledges are grounded in the voices and expertise, if you will, of women across, you know, various different dimensions, right? So it is a way of understanding the world and seeing the world through a woman's lens, and that's women who are gender identified, or if they ascribe to like a biological definition of being a woman, and then what that means for how they live their lives in society, various societies, and that will then cross-cut with things such as race and sexuality and ability and class and that sort of thing. So it's a very broad understanding of women's lives and looking at the specificities of their lives from the lens of identifying as and being a woman.
So how does that relate to the criminal justice system or the criminal justice world? Is there a relation?
For sure, there's a relation. That's a really good question, because I think for many years the field of criminology was very much a male-dominated field. And so even, I mean, as your experience as a student, a lot of what students were taught was about male criminologists male criminality in terms of crimes that were perpetuated by men. And so the women were really excerpted out of that field and that knowledge. And part of the reason, I think, was, of course, due to patriarchy and the fact that women's crimes or as victims were not really seen as important. And of course, when you talk about patriarchy, you're going to talk about power and what knowledge gets positioned as important. And also in terms of tangibles, women in the criminal justice system, the numbers of women tends to be low, which should not be a negation of looking at their experiences. But in terms of the field of criminology, that's what I think happened, right? There wasn't a lot of women, so it was kind of like, well, there's not a lot, so let's not talk about what that means for women in contact with the law. I don't really like the term conflict with the law, but what that means for women in contact with the law. And then by and large, that then of course will extend to other spheres of women's lives, right?
Right.
So within the criminal justice field, there was a positionality of women as not being relevant, and then there were not a lot of women criminologists or women people that studied, you know, women's theories, like theories of crime around women, whether they be victims or perpetrators, and then looking at all the, again, the other factors that were associated with that, right? Yeah. So.
Is it starting to really, with female criminologists and looking at women's experiences when it comes to the criminal justice system, is there a shift starting to occur now?
I would say the shift has occurred. Like feminist criminology, which is what my background is in, my doctoral work is specifically grounded in black feminist criminology, but feminist criminology being the base. And I mean, that field has been burgeoning for many, many years, well over a decade. And I would say in Canada in particular, you've got some folks who've been doing work around feminist crime for many, many years, mostly white folks, mostly white women. And I think that the field has changed in that sense. But in the U.S., feminist crime and analysis of women and crime has been around for years, much more prevalent than it was here in Canada. But for sure, yes, it's definitely on the forefront, I would say, of criminological study and theory in this country. So, it's an important field because it's not only about victimology and victimization, but it's also about looking at the feminization of poverty, about property and related crimes, and about women's positionality in society and how that then correlates with the criminal justice system.
Right.
And then again, as I mentioned, there's all these other entanglements of race and class and ability that come into play. And I think historically those were areas that were never discussed in terms of criminal justice and women.
So we learn a lot how there's a lot of the rehabilitative practices mm-hmm. that are in the correctional facilities now mm-hmm. were based on studies of men
yes.
that are applied to women.
Yeah.
What would feminist theorists like yourself say about that?
Right, so incredibly problematic, mm-hmm. and you are right, traditionally because of the field of criminology, and even like the DSMV, the models that are used for mm-hmm. around cognitive behavioral theory, those male bodies were the templates for those. So
right.
again, you're taking an application of an ideology and assuming that a one-size-fits-all model would work for women. So I believe, and I would stand by as someone who studies feminist criminological lens, that is very problematic
mm-hmm.
for a number of reasons, right? So at the very base, the very premises, you've got a model that's probably designed by men for a male population, not taking into the needs of the assessment of women
mm-hmm.
and even the diversity of women. So even within
right.
the pool of women, you've got to look at all the diversity within that pool. So for sure, that's very, very problematic. And I think there has been a shift in penology studies, so
mm-hmm.
the studies of prisons and how people are housed and why we have a reliance on prisons, and then in terms of rehabilitation, which I don't love the term, which we can talk about
yeah.
a little bit later, but I don't love that term. I like to think more in terms of reintegration, but I think
mm-hmm.
there has been a shift towards looking at women's needs, risks, and assessment that are specific to women,
right?
Which is really important
mm-hmm.
because when you don't do that, of course, as we know, you look at any of the models, any of the work by Andrews and Bonta, who were the kind of purveyors of risk needs assessment
mm-hmm.
work in Canada, and it's important to look at the specificities of women's eyes, right? In terms of what's needed for reintegration,
right?
Right.
So
yeah.
I suppose that leads to my next question
mm-hmm.
of. With this idea in mind, how do we then reduce the incidence of women coming into contact with the criminal justice system?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would answer that question in terms of what I try and employ in the classroom, which is we can't start at the point where women are incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
right? Or when they become incarcerated.
Exactly.
And that's why I don't like the term in conflict with the law.
Right.
I like to use in conflict because when we say women are in conflict with the law, we are presuming that the law is neutral and
mm-hmm.
that it works really, really well. And it works in
right.
a democratic country, a society, and that's the ideology. And that sounds great, and it doesn't always work that way. So
yeah.
I prefer to use the term women in contact with the law to kind of imbue the fact that women are coming in contact with systemic situations, institutionalized situations, which don't always take into account
mm-hmm.
the very particularities of their lives, right? So for
right.
me, if we want to help or understand what you're asking, we can't start at the point of incarceration,
mm-hmm.
right? We've got to start at the point way before that. There are
right.
many things that happen in people's lives, that happen in women's lives, that lead up to the point of being in contact with the law. And to
right.
me, that's where we're failing,
mm-hmm.
right? So, and that's why I don't like the term rehabilitation, because we have this assumption that when you get into a jail or a prison, you're now going to be rehabilitated,
right?
Right? What does that really mean? Particularly if the model of rehabilitation is based on a state designed model,
mm-hmm.
right? Which was not designed to look at the particularities of people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to say there's something wrong with you, we're going to fix you while you do your time, right?
Right.
And that's problematic,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
that's showing them that they're different from everyone else
right.
and that they can't ever be
right.
the same as anyone
as
else.
As anybody else. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So is there something in Canada, are we doing anything that you're speaking of? Because it makes
yeah.
logical sense
yeah.
that before they get in, is there any changes that are occurring in Canada or in the provinces in Ontario? Of course, we've just changed hands of the government, so
that could all
change
for sure,
as well.
For sure.
Putting on the spot a little bit.
No, it's a great question. It's a great question, and I think I'd answer that in two parts. I
mm-hmm.
would say, and I would say within the last maybe 10, 15 years, there has been a shift to specifically look at. So, actually, you know what? Let me backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
When P4W closed, when the prison for women closed because of a lot of the rampant violence that was taking place, and there was, I believe, 6 Indigenous women who committed suicide, and when the inquiry into the events at the prison for women happened,
mm-hmm.
And it officially closed in 2000, but when that inquiry took place before then, I think that was maybe a seminal moment where people actually were like, oh, we should give a damn about what's happening to women inside. Mm-hmm. Because in our society, not only in North America, but I think in general, globally, there's a shroud of silence around people who are incarcerated and around incarceration. Right. We want to push those people away from society. Mm-hmm. So I think when the Arbor Commission happened, took place, and all of these atrocities were brought to light about what was happening to women at P4W, I think a light bulb went off, mm-hmm. right? And so here we had a seminal moment, I believe, in Canadian history around the study of the need for incarceration and what it meant to be locking women away. Most of those women who were incarcerated, not only were they Indigenous women, mm-hmm. but they were also there for property or poverty-related crimes. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's something that, you know, percolated with folks and people,
right.
Whether it was academics and also maybe people in the general public kind of thought, oh, okay. But then I, again, with the trajectory of the way our government moved towards when we had a conservative government, we had the Harper government in place for 10 years,
right.
then the discourse around punishment, around incarceration meant punishment, harsh
right.
punishment procedures. So the insight that was gleaned from the Arbor Commission dissipated. And people mm-hmm. were so focused on locking people away. You did the crime, you did the time. And
right.
so I felt like the, again, like all those insights and the knowledges and the learnings that took place, not just got lost
right.
in society, right? When the focus became more conservative in terms of mm-hmm. law and order punishment, right?
Right. Has that changed since
the new government
has come in? I know they've said a lot of things.
Yeah, they said exactly, right? They say a lot of things. I don't know if I would say it's changed. I think with the inquiry into the use of solitary confinement, mm-hmm. I think I'd like to think, I mean, again, Trudeau made a very public statement about the use of it. So I'd like to think that measures, and that things will move notoriously slow, but I'd like to think that measures around not using solitary confinement at some point will come to be. And I think there's been a lot of public pressure because of very high-profile cases. I think the criminal justice system is under scrutiny right now, not only because of the Adam Kapepe case, which I'm thinking mm-hmm. about in terms of solitary confinement, but also the Colton Bushi mm-hmm. case, which, you know, shed a lot of light in terms of jury selection. So
right.
I think in general, mm-hmm. the criminal justice system is, you know, people are watching, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'd like to think that will somehow lead to some more significant changes.
Right.
They will be incremental because that's how the system works.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like years ago when they introduced the ethnocultural, I don't remember the big title, but it's the section of the CSC, the Correctional Services of Canada, it has like an ethnocultural
right.
section where it's specifically designed to look at the needs of racialized prisoners. So Indigenous
right.
folks, Black folks, you know, anybody who's racialized, you know, 30 years ago, that wasn't even part of the CSC's mandate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now we have it. So, again, that might be paper lip service, but the fact that there seems to be a department that is dedicated to that is
right.
progress, right? I'm so afraid to use the word progress with the CSC, when I mentioned the CSC, but I'm just trying to answer your question in terms of mm-hmm. shifts and changes that have taken
right.
place, right?
So there is hope
yeah.
that things can change.
I think so. I don't know if that's utopian, but I'd like to think that we could, again, move towards a society that has less reliance on locking people away. And particularly
right.
with the other thing I would add is that with the burgeoning of, you know, discourse around mental health issues
mm-hmm.
that's been taking place for a number of years, as it should have be, I think that too people are starting, I'd like to think people are starting to make the connection that jails and prisons are not rehabilitation centers,
right.
centers for people struggling with mental health issues.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like someone with an addiction. Like, if you have a substance use issue, jail
mm-hmm.
is not the best place
no.
for you. It is not rehab, right? So,
So,
yeah.
something that we as students and going out into the workforce
mm-hmm.
after we graduate
mm-hmm.
need to be thinking about.
Absolutely.
And looking at, especially feminist theory, we need to be looking
yeah.
at how women's experiences differ from men's.
Absolutely.
And when we're out in the workforce, understanding that
yes.
and completely understanding.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for the interesting conversation.
Yeah,
something
no,
that we really need to
pleasure.
Focus on. We're just scratching the surface
for sure.
of this,
yeah.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
But until next time, I'm Natalie Miller, and this has been Criminal Justice Knowledge.